For me. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come thanking you, Lord, and knowing, as the song has said and the brother has testified, Lord, you're more than enough. Lord, you bless us more than we even know every day. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. May you just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, in the furtherance of this service. We thank you for the worship, the praise, and glory to your name. May you just be with those that are not here, Lord, and that you would speak to their hearts, the ones that would listen in. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of those that are, Lord. We just ask your blessings upon all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. We greet you in the name of the Lord. And I'm assuming that you're seeing the there on the cyber fellowship that it said there's some a problem with the audio. So I don't know what that is. But you can check into it. But anyways, I am on, but I didn't see it on the computer when I come by that it had synced. And so anyways, we'll let Brother Michael worry about that. We'll get right into the message now. I want to say we enjoyed the quotes on Sunday. And, it's been enjoying the word very much. And so I keep looking forward to other things. And I was thinking today, I shouldn't be looking somewhere else. I should be focusing right here all the time. And so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and but at the same time we want to be looking to what he is, how he's leading and guiding us, and we appreciate that so much. And these brothers know that anytime they have something on their heart, they're welcome to come and just feel free, be at liberty to deliver their hearts. Amen. So now I want to go back and read one quote that we read last week, and that is in the message identification, paragraph 61. And then we'll continue on. I just wanted to go back and pick up this one because it touches on some of the things that we're going into from here. And so let us just read here. Now, this reflected his loving, noble character. God reflected in a man called Christ. He was the only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven could do it, see? It was God. He was the sinless nature. He was the Word, sinless nature of God. He was the Word, the sinless nature of God. He was the Word expressed, which the Word was the beginning. Is that right? It was the beginning. It was the God's thoughts becoming the expression. God's thoughts becoming Word. It was the beginning. And if you were in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from His thought. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Brother Adam's going to hit on that in several ways, and it's really... It really is really sweet the way he brings it. I want to read that again. If you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are God's expression from his thought. He's seen you and seen your desire before there was even an atom or anything. You are his thought made word and expressed in what you are now. What you are right now. And I'm going to say it the way that he's saying it. He's going to say it. In your present character, in the character right now that you are displaying, you are expressing his thought. And that is, we understand, that is, if we are expressing him, if we are born again, then this is applying to us. See, we are his thought made word expressed in what you are now. And Brother Branham said it some places, he said, the shape and form that you are. So whatever he made us fleshly, then that's what we are. And in this shape and form, we are expressing the thought of God. It's become word in us. So paragraph 63, now I hope that don't interfere with nothing, you see, and I wouldn't want to say nothing contrary to what you've been taught. But just so that you would understand what I'm trying to get here, a reflection. Now, he's going to use a lot of words tonight. He's going to talk about reflection. He's going to talk about the character. He's going to talk about a mirror, all of that. He's going to talk about being identified. And so he's telling us that you are a reflection. You are a reflection of God's thought. What God had in his mind, now it's being reflected here on the earth. It's being identified. See, I'm trying to get to here a reflection. You've got to be identified. And if you are, you were in God's thinking beginning, see, and it was his reflection here on earth. You will bear record of the heavenly as he bore record of the heavenly. See, that's what you're doing. Just like Moses back then, he was doing building something natural to match something in heaven. And so now it's coming into the bride now. Now you are bearing record of the heavenly, what he's seen in his mind for the bride to be. And so when he raised up from the grave and was given a body, when we are raised up, we will have a body like his own glorious body. The same thing that happened to him is going to happen to you. The resurrection is sure. It's a guarantee, and we have the earnest of it now. As the Holy Spirit comes in and identifies us as God's redeemed person. Okay? And I know some time ago I was reading a quote where Brother Branham says, you don't accept it, it accepts you. It comes and gets you. It comes and finds you. It comes and reveals to you who you are. As the Holy Spirit comes in and identifies us as God's redeemed person. Amen. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed till the journey is over. And that's your token that you hold. That shows your fare has been paid. You are a redeemed character. See? You're a redeemed person. You're a redeemed character. He's going to keep going. He's going to tell us you are a redeemed thought. You were there in the mind of God as a redeemed character. Satan has no business with you, none whatever. Just pick up your token and show him. My healing is paid for. My trip to glory is paid for. All of it, I got the token. It's all paid for, I got it. A token is what you use to ride on a bus line or an airline. Your ticket is your token, see? And in the old days, they gave you a token. When I was a young man, I can't even remember. I'm thinking in elementary. I lived in California, and it was just there was buses to take you everywhere. And my mom worked. My mom and dad had separated, and so my dad was gone at that time in the military on the Navy, and so my mom, she worked to make ends meet. And so when I was Cameron's age, we were just wandering. We would go travel all over the place. And they had the buses, and you could get on a bus, and it would go so far. One bus would go to so far into the city, and then they would give you, if you had paid, you only had to pay one time. And so they would give you a token. If you tell them, saying, I'm going on, they would give you a token to get the next bus that would take you the next 5 miles or whatever that bus would go, and then you get a token to continue on. And so it was the route was very big. So you could catch many, many buses and go all the way around. So you pay for it, and then you got a token for it. And so that token was your pass for the day. And it's on the bus, on the plane. Brother Branham's saying, here, your ticket, your token. I can remember the first time we went to India, and we went to the bank. And so we went to the bank to exchange, and it seemed like back in those days, everything seemed so primitive and so backward. But I can remember going, and you'd fill out the forms, you would give them your American dollars, and then you're expecting him to give you the Indian rupees, and they give you a coin. And I looked at that, and I looked at Benjamin, and I told Benjamin, I said, brother, I said, he's got all my money, $500, and I said, he's giving this. And so I started questioning him. I said, hey, where's the money? Where's the money? And so Benjamin said, no, brother, calm down. He's going to bring you the money. He said, keep that token. He said, that's your money. And so I'm thinking, if you lose this token, you've lost your money. Anybody can take that token. Now, once you get the token, there's no show your passport, show this, show that. No, it's the token. The token stands alone. That token, you take that token. If you lay it down and walk off and come back and it's gone, somebody takes that token, they give it to them. So they, and actually what they do is they call you and they have your money ready. And the only way you get that money is with that token. You have to give it to them. And so you have to have this token. Brother Brandon, he'd made it clear when he brought those messages after the seals was opened that it's the spirit is the token today. It's not the blood. It's the spirit. It's the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the believer. Brother, sister, that it's a serious, serious time now. It is God himself coming down and living in the believer and manifesting himself in every aspect, in every aspect. And that has to be identified in every one of us. There is an identification that has to take place. And that's what he's talking about tonight. He said, take your token, you're redeemed, the blessing, the Holy Spirit. And if Satan tries to push something on you, just show this, that that's your identification, see? Amen. You are identified in the resurrection of Christ. See, you are identified in his death when you die. You're identified in his resurrection. And by that, it identifies you. The token identifies you. See? That you were with him before the foundation of the world. Because you're redeemed. See? And that's brought back. That token, that life in you identifies you. That you were one of those thoughts that came forth from him. That was manifested in the day. One of those redeemed thoughts. See? Because you're redeemed. That's brought back. All the Father has given me will come. And no man can come unless he, the Father, has give it. See? In the beginning. That's right. And notice now. He was sinless. To take a place of the sinful. Antidote. Without sin. So that he might redeem sinners. God was expressed in him. And properly identified himself in him. How? Properly, perfectly, fully, in every way, Jesus Christ was the expression of God. He was the expression. Now you say, Brother Branham, did you say God identified himself? He did. Now watch. In the beginning, see, St. John 1 was the Word. And the Word was with God. And now a word has to be a thought before it's a word. And what was he? What was the Son? He was a thought that became word, that became the very expression of God. He became the very expression of God. And so that is what had to manifest itself in that character, in that human flesh. And he's going to bring those three attributes. And I tell you, this I know this is so simple, but it's so beautiful. And he's bringing it in a little bit different way than you normally read it as you're studying and enjoying the message. Now, a word has to be a thought before it's a word. Because the word is a thought expressed. See? In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, was God. And the Word, see, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now he's trying to break this down and really make us get it. Identified how? Hebrews 4. The word of God is sharper and more powerful than a two-edged sword, cutting asunder. Now, notice how many times there's a few scriptures that keep popping up in these messages, and this is one of them. And this scripture right here is identifying the character of God, because nobody else can do this. Satan can't do this. Satan can impersonate this. Satan can imitate this, but he can't do this, because this is only God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only God knows the very thoughts that you have. Satan can't. He can impersonate that. See, cutting both coming and going. Cut asunder, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when he did that, that's how the prophets were identified. Because God would speak and tell them just what was wrong. See that? That is the identification of the hour being made manifest. That's how we knew that the voice that spoke in this day was the voice of God. Because when he spoke and discerned, it was perfect. It was perfect every time. When he told a person their name, it never was wrong. It wasn't right part of the time, half the time. It wasn't even 99%. It was perfect. No matter how much these unbelievers try to say different, it was perfect. The gift was perfect because it was God. And so God can't miss. Now, what God can do, God can make it look like it missed so that they go out the door. Now, God can do that. He can allow that. That's what he did with many people when Mary was shown to be pregnant before they got married. So it made it look like this was illegitimate. God knew that. God had the timing perfectly lined up so it would throw some off. He could have changed it till after the wedding day and then said, "Now, Joseph, don't touch her. I've got a work to do. You just wait, and I'm going to do this work, and then she can be your wife later." No, he didn't do that. He did it just so it would look like she was an ill-famed woman. She was a prostitute. And he put her living in a place where many prostitutes were. He put her right there where all the soldiers were, and that's where those kind of women hang in those kind of places. And so God knows exactly what he's doing. He was God in human form. And it took God to express such a character as this. See? And then that lovely life had to be taken from him so that he could save these that God's foreknowledge saw in the beginning, which was his thoughts of you and me. That's what he will come to redeem, those thoughts. That's what he came to redeem. Jesus came to do that. His perfect life had to be sacrificed to redeem that person. Then if they do, and you were with God in his thoughts at the beginning, how can you deny his word being true? See, when you are part of his word, amen, certainly, a vindicated properly, there could be no mistake about it. It's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now, Brother Branham, he really nails that thought down, that scripture down right there. Jesus didn't move. His whole desire, his whole character was designed around one thing, and that is he wasn't going to do anything until the Father showed him. And Brother Branham said that same attribute, that same character is exactly what has to be in the bride. That our whole life, our whole desire, our whole character, our whole makeup is that we don't want to do anything until he shows us that's his will, that's his word, that's his desire. That's our whole makeup. And so he made it that way. Why? Because it's him. It's him that's doing it. Paragraph 73. Now, we find out that in the great turmoil of the day, the people about understanding God in three persons, see? God It's three attributes of God, like three offices. God above us, in the Holy Spirit up there, in a pillar of fire. God made flesh and dwelt among us. A man that we could touch and handle. As we read on Sunday, Brother Branham said, when he became flesh, said when he was up there as that pillar of fire, said it was a mysterious God. As he was leading the children of Israel, they wandered, they didn't know, they were afraid of him. All of those things, they didn't understand this God. And they were trying to understand, and they were only getting what God revealed to Moses and he was given to the people. But they were far from understanding. Said, but then when he became flesh, said we begin to understand more. We begin to see his character, and they begin to have fellowship with him, and they begin to become understand more about this mysterious God. But then it's coming to another place. See? Now, God in the church. See? God above you, God with you, God in you. Now, we've read this for years and years and years, but I just believe that this is, we have a greater understanding of it now. That God that was manifested as Spirit, the Father, that was a manifestation of God. And that when he became flesh in his Son, that was a manifestation of God. And now this time, not just the understanding that we had of Pentecost and the Spirit being poured out, but now understanding Revelation 19, understanding now that this third manifestation of God, this third attribute that he's talking about, three attributes, this attribute is God manifesting as wife. He's manifesting as his wife. And we read it Sunday. The only way the world's going to see him today is in you. The only way they could see him in that day was in Jesus Christ. The only way they could see him in Moses' day was in the pillar of fire, or see him in Moses. He was in that prophet manifesting his character, manifesting his attributes. This third attribute is God manifesting himself in his wife. And this was part of his plan, part of his desire, what he had in his mind the whole time to bring forth. See, the same God in three different manifestations, but the same God all the time. Three manifestations. What is the third manifestation? It's Jesus Christ in you, living his life, living, manifesting the thought that has become word to manifest his character, his life. See, and it does something to the believer. That's, I was thinking about what Brother Michael was saying a while ago, how in that time of turmoil, how in that time of distress, how in that moment when the carnal man is saying, what am I going to do? I don't need this. I can't afford this. I got this and this and this. I don't want this. And the flesh begins to try to cope with those things. And then what happened? What happened to him? The word came. The word came to him. He didn't stop and say, okay, let me get my Bible out. Let me see if I can find this. He didn't do nothing. He didn't have to do nothing because it was already in there. It was already in there, and it comes to you what you need in that moment. And immediately, no matter what the situation is, it becomes a new situation because you've come back. Now the spiritual man is taking over in that natural situation. That one moment before you're getting a little nervous, a little upset, what are you going to do? And then the Spirit starts taking over. All things work together for him. See, one thing after another. God takes over. And that's too simple for the carnal mind. That's too simple for the nominal mind. That's too simple. But that's God. That's God expressing himself in his wife. He's doing it. See, notice, to be no mistakes, his sinless nature expressed God's word. And I went back and read that first quote there that we had read on Sunday because it mentioned sinless nature. I've been reading this since Sunday, and I thought, I kept thinking about that, and it just kept hitting me, that sinless nature. And I thought, we know that the soul is the nature. We know that the soul is the nature of the spirit. And that the only way that this sinless nature expressed God's words. That's what he's saying. He's going to break it down in a minute. But this sinless nature expressed God's word. And so, let's just read it. Let me let him say it. And the only way that you'll ever be able to express God's words, see, that you believe it and watch it act behind you. See, the only way that you'll ever be able to express God's word, that you believe it and watch it act behind you. That's what it was doing. That's exactly what it was doing. The brother was testifying about being down in Florida and those men looking at him wondering why he doesn't look like them. And so he doesn't act like them. He doesn't do the things. He doesn't enjoy the things that they enjoy. Huh? You think they're not watching. They're watching. They're watching. They're noticing. They're noticing. You sisters, they're noticing. They're watching your life. They can't help it. There's something down in there. Just as God put something in man to make him want to know God, God put something in man to worship something. You can be sure they're watching when they get in the presence of a real, genuine believer. They might not agree. They might not understand. They might not a lot of things. If there's a sin there, they'll come to it. It'll be the thing that draws them to it. But you can be sure they take notice of it. You will have to have that sinless nature that come from God. Amen. I kept reading this over and over, and I thought, praise be to God. That's exactly it. That's exactly the whole thing. That's because every bride that he has tried to have has failed. Every one of them have failed all the way through. It never could be that carnal man. It never could be the Adam nature. It never could be that. It never could be this flesh that come through sin or come through sex. It was going to be himself. That's why he's making it clear here that third manifestation of God in his bride, that is his very self. It's him. It's not us coming to a place that we're going to do anything or that we've accepted this thing, we believe this thing, and now we're going to live a good holy life, a good Christian life. It's him. Only he can do it. Only he can do it, and the only way it's going to be done in this veil of flesh is by that sinless nature. And so this flesh was created as a child of God. Brother Branham said, all flesh is sons and daughters of God. He said, but some are fallen. And that we're all born fallen. But some are created because they were in him before the foundation of the world. So this spirit, he said, was created. And so the spirit, when you are born again, when he comes and reveals himself to you, then this spirit gets a new nature. And that new nature brings into you the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And it brings into you this sinless nature. The nature that is living in you is God. Now, there's only one. Satan is there's only one sinless, perfect nature, and that's God. Satan is the nature that you were born with into the world. That nature, Satan won that right by the deception that he did through Eve. By that deception, He vicariously entered into the human race. And he now had the right that every human being born in the world was now born in sin by the fall, by sex. So now God come to redeem those thoughts that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And when those thoughts come face to face with God, which is the Word, when they come face to face with him, and he reveals himself to them, and he reveals to them that they were part of him before the foundation of the world, then that sinless nature comes into them. And that nature is the soul. And that soul is God. And that you, some people might not like saying it that way, but I don't care how you turn it, it's God. It, because this, there's only one. There's only one that is sinless, that is perfect, and that's God. And when he comes into you, that's eternal life living in you. That's the only way that you have no more desire for the world. Brother Branham said, if you take a lamb and you put the life of a pig in it, it's going to waller in the mud. It's going to waller in the manure. It's going to waller and act just like a pig. He said, because that's the life that's in there. You put that life in there. And when he puts this life in you, it is the life of God. And the life of God, the nature of God, is expressed in you. And so you are a different character, you're a different person, you're different everything. But the flesh. Let's just make sure that we keep that right where it's at. This flesh is in the same state that it was in. Just like Israel, they couldn't get it back then, and those natural things, they couldn't get it that the political world was in the same state. The country was in the same state. The world was in the same state. Now, in this 2,000 years later, when this life is coming into this earth, this flesh, it's in the same state. You didn't get stronger. You didn't get younger. You didn't get smarter. You didn't get anything in this flesh. What happened to this flesh was you got a new nature. And that new nature was sinless. It's sinless. And so, and Brother Branham made that clear. And so, I feel like I'm kind of hammering it, but it seems like there's so much unbelief today. It seems like there's so much unbelief for the simplicity of the message of this day. And so, one of the greatest revelations that was ever been brought by the prophet is invisible union. And that you never sinned in the first place. The only way that you can say that you never sinned is when you realize that there's another person that's living in here than the one that was in here when you were born. Because if the one that you were born with is in here, you have sinned. That's all there is to it. You have a nature. You love the world. You come in the world speaking lies. But now there's another nature in there. And that nature is the nature of God. That's what it is. You can't turn it any other way. When I read this the other day, I thought, okay, let me just put this phrase into the computer. So I put sinless nature in. And you know it only come up 6 times? And you only came up in 2 messages. Now he said the words probably maybe a dozen times, but it was only in those 6 sentences or paragraphs, whatever it was, however the search was. And so the 2 messages that he said it in were both called identification. And one of them was preached January of 1963, right before the seals. The other one is right here. It was preached in February 1964. This was a year later. And this is the only place I can find where he used those words together like that. And so, striking to me. And so when he's talking about the only one that could do this, the only one that could take that place had to have the sinless nature. And the only ones of those that are redeemed, those that he came to redeem, the only ones that it can express those attributes, that can express God's thoughts, that can express God's character, they have to have this sinless nature. That's what he's saying. He's making it clear that this is it. So he was. So if he preached that in January of 63, he preached it before the token. So he's talking this before the token. Then he preached it again after the token. So, see, let's read it again. You will have to have that sinless nature that come from God. Huh? How? Why? So that it can live in you, so that it can act in you, so that you can believe it, so that you can express that character, so that you can be everything that he wanted you to be. So that you can have that same character that Jesus had. I don't do anything till he shows me. And let me just relate that to something. I don't know how many of you read the quote that Brother Goomba posted earlier. He said, on the fellowship group, he said, "Don't you say anything but what the tape says." Now that's exactly what Jesus was saying when he says, "I do nothing till the Father shows me." You don't do anything until you find right there message. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter how good a preacher anybody is, no matter how big a following they have, no matter how entertaining they are, how gripping they are when they preach and they hold your attention, and anything that they can do, you can only do one thing, and that is stay right with what he said. Write what that tape said, write what the word says, and let me tell you something. We need to listen more. I need to listen more. Most of mine is reading, but we need to listen more. One time I was studying, and he was talking about the seventh seal, and I can't even remember the quote now, but I just remember the point was that the book said a certain thing. And I looked at that, and I said it's odd that he said it that way. And then I had another book. It's a different way. That's when Mamlis came out with his books, when Word Publications came out. So I compared it with Mamlis, and I compared it with Spoken Word. And so then I went, I had some more books from later back that were published back further. And so I had about four different. I had some from Eddie Biscoe, those books they published. And so all of those books said the same thing except the Word Publications. And the Word Publications said it different. And I said, this is interesting. I said, and this is how we're seeing the revelation on that seventh seal on the coming of the Lord. And so I said, there's only one way to settle this. And I said, let's go to the tape and find out who got it right. And I went back to the tape, and David Mamlis got it right. And it just made me wonder if some of those others didn't want it to say that, because it proved the seventh seal and his talking about his coming. And sorry, I don't remember the exact term that it was said, but I'll try to bring that sometime here, and just because I brought it up. So you have to have the sinless nature. See, before, let me back up some. I don't want to go too fast here. You will have to have that sinless nature that come from God. That means that God will be in you. Before the foundation of the world, you was recognized with him. Before the word can ever express itself through you. Now the word is not going to express itself unless you were a part of him before the foundation of the world. And what part were you? You were his thought. You were a part of his thought. So just as Jesus Christ the meant, it was part of his thoughts. So that thought that God had to come to expression. It had to manifest what it was. He's seen you as a son of God only in the formation of bride. And so he's seen you in his thought as the bride of Jesus Christ in this last day. And so that, in order for him to express that in you, now that sinless nature's got to come in you. That life of God's got to come in you. Before the word can ever express itself through you, it takes a sinless nature to do that. It takes the soul change, brother, sister. It takes the new birth. It takes God slaying that nature that you were born with and God's nature coming into you and God expressing himself because he's the word. So much too, he was the word in full. The word of God flowed through him so freely that he could even speak a word and it would create, see? That showed who he was. Who can create but God? Amen. God is the only creator there is. So this is hitting on where we're going to get on Sunday. He was so perfect in harmony. Him and the Word was so perfectly together until he created. Even he and the Word being one. And no other nature could do this. No other nature could do it. See? Keeps talking about that sinless nature. No character. Nothing in the heavens. Nothing else could do that but him. He was the beginning of that character. Savior. See? Now he was the beginning of that new race of people. That's what he said in the church ages. The angel wasn't born a savior. He was created a being to worship God. Not a savior. But in God was a savior. An ordinary man born of an ordinary woman couldn't be a savior because his nature was carnal. See? What did it take? It took the sinless nature. But it taken God himself. Huh? It took God himself to express this second attribute of God. And he's going to tell you it's going to take God himself to express this third attribute of God. I hope you. See, look, that was the expression to manifest such a character as that. For others, it was a fallen character. Nothing could save. Angels wasn't created for such. Man was a fallen character. That's right. God made him. God made him so he would need salvation. Look, to show it's the ones that he thought of, his thoughts is the Christian of today. It's just beautiful, isn't it? The thoughts before the foundation of the world, see? That's the Christian of this day. That's you. Now remember, when man was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. Is that right? There's nothing in him at all, you see? If he was in God's thoughts when he come to the world, he's come in God's thoughts at the beginning, see, to display his attribute. Do you follow me? See, if you was there in his mind before the foundation of the world, God ordained you to be Christians in this day. He ordained you to be that character manifested on the earth in this day. You're the attribute. Then Jesus come to break the clouds back so that attribute could display itself. That's why he became Savior. To bring those attributes back, to bring those predestinated ones back. That's it. He is God's express word. And nothing else could be manifesting. See? But other characters had all fallen. Then you see, what did Jesus come? To bring back those characters? No. They were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Do you get what he's saying? Did he come to redeem back this that fell? No. Did he come to change or convert that nature that you were born with? No, he did not. He came to slay that nature and to put a new nature in there. He came to put a new life in there, which was God life in you. This body right here, did he come for this? No, he didn't. You have a new one. You have one like his. That's what the scripture says. You have one like his body, and it's just waiting for you. He came as redeemer, and to redeem anything is to bring it back. Amen. Bring it back. It was God's thought. You see, it was to bring back what God's thought was of you. Think, little you, little me. No one in the world could take my place. Nobody can take yours, see? You being a Christian and filled with the Spirit of God before the foundation of the world, seeing you and knowed every feature that you got, see? God come to bring you back. That's what Jesus was here for. The Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. That had to come to be a human as a Redeemer to display his attributes as Savior. And come to redeem you and bring you back from where you came from. That's right. So that you could manifest him in this last day. So that you, as his thought, would be expressed in this hour. And when you receive eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. And that's the Greek word Zoe. Is that right, brother? The brother says yes. Zoe, God's own life. So you, being a son, you become part of that life. So the life that's in you never did begin, and it never can end. Now, he's saying that sinless nature is in you. He's saying Zoe life, God's own life, is in you. That's what he's saying. And he's saying that life, that Zoe, has no beginning and no ending. And it's in you. That's what he's saying. Just say what the tape says. Just say what the tape says. The life that's in you never did begin and it never can end. I end that with an amen. Just amen. He said it, I believe it, eternal life is living in the bride. Think of it. It can't end. Because anything that's eternal never began. Praise be to God. The life that's in you never did begin. That is, if you got eternal life. And that's God. For you was in his thoughts from the eternal. Hallelujah. And now it's expressed here in a human being. Tell me, what is being expressed in a human being? Eternal life is being expressed in a human being. So, is this flesh going to die? Is this flesh eternal? No, it's not eternal, is it? But eternal life is living in flesh. That's as plain as you turn it any way you want to turn it. Zoe, God's own life, eternal life, that never began and never can end, is living in the believer. That's sinless nature. That's sinless nature. And that nature, the nature is the soul. The soul is the nature of the spirit. What's interesting about that revelation is that Brother Branham said that long before the seals, way, way back there in the 50s, Brother Branham taught that the soul was the nature of the spirit. And Brother Branham, after the seals was opened, never changed that revelation. The soul is the nature of the spirit. He preached it all the way. If somebody sees where he changed it, I want to see it. Because I can't find where he changed it. It's the same all the way through. The soul is the nature of the spirit. I don't know any other way to say that. I don't see a need to say it any other way. The soul is the nature of the spirit. And that soul, nature, was either Satan or God. There's not a third, there's not a fourth, there's not anything else. It's either Satan or God. And you were born with the nature of Satan. And Brother Branham said, he didn't come to redeem that. He didn't come to change that and make it good. No, he didn't. He come to kill that and himself, perfection, come down and live in you. In this mortal flesh that's going to die. That was the plan. He was going to redeem, and he was going to prove to Satan that there would be a people on the earth who could believe every word of God. And this flesh couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it with that nature that Satan so vicariously got into the human race with. No, they couldn't do it like that. So, but they were trying. They were trying, being born by sex. They tried to follow the law. They tried to do this. They tried to do that. They tried to do it with the anointing upon them, with the Spirit upon their flesh. They tried to do it. They did good. Those elected ones, they did the best they could under that age. But the Redeemer took care of it. He took care of the rest of it. And now it comes to the third manifestation, that third attribute, where God is going to display himself as wife. That's perfection. That is that sinless nature. That's nothing to do with Satan. You can't have that sinless nature and have the world at the same time. You can't have it. You can't have no creeds, no nominal ideas, no intellectual ideas. You can't have anything but just the revelation of Jesus Christ living in you. That's it. Anything that's eternal never began. The life you never did begin. That is if you got eternal life. And that's God. For he was, for you was in his thought from the eternal. See? And now it's expressed here in a human being for his glory. Jesus Christ came to redeem that. That's what he came to redeem. Being the Son, the fullness of God had to come and become that. That's what he came. That's what Jesus become, and that's what you become. You become the fullness of that thought expressed for this day. See? The sinless character of God did that. That's what it's doing now, too. The sinless character of God. That's why the greatest revelation was right there at the very end. The very end, 1965, November. I don't know if it was the 20th. I don't know what the date was. But it was in November. Those Thanksgiving meetings at Life Tabernacle in Shreveport, Louisiana. The invisible union. When he brought this great revelation that you never sinned in the first place. Never. That eternal life, you was his thought, that attribute before the foundation of the world, and he came to redeem that, to for you to manifest all of that in his thought for you for this day. That's what we're here for. That's what he redeemed. The sinless character of God did that, that he might redeem these other thoughts that was to come to him, to make a wife. Oh, see what I mean? It's a glorious story. Praise be to God. And 82. And his character was that he did everything that pleased God. He stayed with the Word, see? And that's what he wanted us for, that we would stay with God's Word. Find our place. And then know where we're at. Stay with his Word and think of it. We are invited to shape our own character to his. This flesh man, this spirit man, is now invited to get a new control tower, a new sinless nature that can now shape this into his character. Now we're going to find out what we've done. See, shape our character to his own, by his own spirit. Then we, by him, are sons of God. Just what I've expressed, see, by having his mind in us to shape our character to his mind. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. This is another scripture we keep crossing. If that mind is in you, then you see, if that mind is in you, you're a different person. You're just a different person. He only did that which pleased the Father, which pleased God. He knowed who he was. He came the Son of God. He knowed he was to take that place. His character had to be that way. And then when he, having taken this place, he knowed what the Messiah was required of. See, he always sought at God to do those things and did nothing until the Father showed him. Praise God. See, and now you'll find your place, sister. Now, if you'll find your place, sister, don't let me hurt you, or brother. But if you'll find your place in the Word as a Christian, not what the creed said, that's down here in this lower cannon fodder that's going to be destroyed. He said that same message, he said that, mentioned that cannon fodder on Sunday. He's not talking about the cannon fodder. He's talking about the thoughts that were redeemed. See, you find your place as a Christian because your character is molded as Christ. You are Zoe. The same as he was Zoe. What is Zoe? God's own life. Eternal life. Eternal life. No beginning and no ending. Search the scripture. They testify of me. In other words, if I don't do exactly what the scripture said I'm to do, then show me where. Show me where. Praise be to God. If God stood on the platform today and said, what's required of a Christian? Then where would we all be? See, the character isn't expressing itself. Look out in the message world. Look out in the nominal world. Look out around in every country. Look at it. It's not expressing. It's not expressing that sinless nature. Well, it's expressing the world, trying to be mixed with the Word. And it doesn't mix. It doesn't work together. I know, especially for us men, we work in around equipment or whatever, oil and water don't mix. You take a bucket that had oil in it and water in there, you're going to see little bubbles all over the place, little bubbles of oil. It won't mix in there. You can't stir it up, mix it up. It'll just keep popping back up. Not going to mix. Anytime you're ever painting, and you're not sure whether you have oil-based paint or you have water-based paint, try to clean your brush. If you got water-based paint and you put it in the water, the paint's going to run out and you're going to clean your brush. But if that's an oil-based paint and you stick it in the water, you got a mess. You've just ruined it. You just made one big mucky mess. They don't mix. That don't mix. His mind was to stay with the Father's Word. The same mind that was in them was to be in us. If his mind is in us, we'll do like he did. If his character is in us, we'll be as he was. Is that right? And the congregation says, amen. All the prophets had that. We know. We talk about Noah, how he did in his day. Moses, how he did in his day. Daniel, how he did in his day. The Hebrew children, how they did in their day. See, that's the bride is going to stand on that character in every age. Stand upon that word in every age. They're going to do it. I'm going to stop right there and pick it up on Sunday. But he's coming to this identification. He's coming to this identification, and he's fixing to tell us that no matter what, he said, you can identify yourself right in the Bible. You can identify yourself right in the message. He said, there's some character in there. And he said, whenever you're going through a situation, he said it different ways, but he said, whenever you're going through a situation, you have problems or stressful or whatever, he said, there's some in the Bible who's went through something similar to that. And he said, you can look in there and see how they handled it. And now you'll know how to handle it too. And there's a key to that. There's a key to that. He just brings things so beautifully, things you never thought about. He just simplicity is just laying there in the revelation. We thank God so much for it. And we thank him. I know every time we stop and think about this prophet that God gave us in this day and what he went through, it'll bring tears to your eyes. It'll make you bow your head and thank God over and over for the voice of God in this last day. The price he paid to bring this message. But he did it for one purpose, because he knew that this bride was going to be the manifestation of God in this hour. And she absolutely cannot mix anything else. She can't mix anything. It has to be 100% him. And he's the Word. He is the Word. And so let us just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this precious promises, Lord, that you've given. That you would have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That you would have a people, Lord, that could believe every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We thank you, Father. Lord, we know. Lord, we think about the quotes and the scriptures, Lord, that speaks of, as we read Sunday, Lord, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord, to do everything. But then, Lord, having the reassurance that you're in full control and you're driving that desire and, Lord, that motivating that will that's in us, Lord. And, Lord, we're trying every way to do everything that we can. And, Lord, when we have a doubt, Lord, you bring us back to the Scripture. You bring us back, Lord, to the promise that you're the one that's moving it, that you're the one that's bringing it to pass. And Lord, it thrills our hearts. It makes us rejoice. That's why, Lord, when we hear these testimonies of you moving for each one, Lord, it just makes us rejoice. And Lord, it encourages us along the way. And Lord, may you be with each one. Go with each one, Lord. So we ask your blessings, your mercy and grace. For it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. All right. So we're going to stop right there. May God bless you so much. Amen.